Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the Dirt Show. Lots of developments over the weekend. Obviously, the Oscars, we'll talk about that. But there have been, you know, other interesting developments as well. In Israel, Hamas has refused to accept the United States and Great Britain and Israel's offer for a ceasefire for a six-week exchange of some hostages for some prisoners because the head of Hamas in Gaza, Sinwar, he wants more Israelis to kill more Palestinians so that the world turns more against Israel, and Ramadan's a good time for that. And so he has promised there'd be more terrorism and more attacks on Israel, and he's hoping that Israel goes into Rafah so that it will make tensions greater between the United States and Israel, and the United States and Joe Biden is falling for it. And the world community is falling for it. Sinwar saying openly, basically, he doesn't want a ceasefire. He wants Israel to continue to kill Gazans because that's part of his dead baby strategy and his CNN strategy. You attack Israelis, they respond. You put your babies out in front, they get killed, and then you show it to CNN. That's the dead baby strategy, and Joe Biden's falling for it. Red lines, red lines. Well, let's remember what happened the last time a Democratic president called for a red line. It was Joe Biden's two-time before predecessor, Barack Obama, and Biden was the vice president. And Obama said, red line, if Syria uses chemical weapons, red line, red line. And so Syria used chemical weapons, and, you know, the red line was a cherry-colored lollipop that was red. Nothing happened, and Syria killed many, 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 many more people than Israel has killed in all its war combined, all of its wars combined. And so the world takes a double standard view. In the Fannie Willis case, D.A. Willis, I cannot get her name right. I know it sounds like phony, but it's like fawny or something like that. Any event, I used to have an aunt, their cousin Fanny, so I'm using that name. In that case, more evidence has come up that now conclusively proves, in my professional opinion, conclusively proves that they were having an affair well before she hired him. We have cell phones pinging in the middle of the night right near her house, and then calls being made just before he goes to her house, obviously, and after he leaves her house. Many people are in jail on much less compelling testimony than that, and she ought to be investigated for conspiracy, obstruction of justice, tampering with witnesses, and perjury. And but she won't be. And I think we, by the time the end of this week, we'll probably know whether or not the judge has the ability, the willingness, the cojones to do the right thing in this case, or whether he's going to be another politician in the county that elected D.A. Willis. We'll find out about that. But let's talk about the Oscars. I remember when the Oscars were about art, were about talent, were about achievements, where people were judged on the merits, where great films and great actors were rewarded. And today, it's all DEI, diversity, equity and inclusion, or diversity, lack of equity and exclusion. History is being rewritten. Whole groups of people are being excluded. But now, in order to get nominated for a prize, you have to meet the DEI criteria. You can't get, I mean, you could be, you know, probably Citizen Kane wouldn't get nominated because it didn't meet the criteria. If Shakespeare had written Hamlet for the theater, well, you know, how many people of color are in Hamlet? No, no, we can't let you do that. You know, let there be a separate DEI Oscar for the most diverse, you know, the most equitable and the most inclusive movie, because nobody would come. But why don't you do that? Why do you have to mess up what should be a meritocracy? Who is the best director and who are the best actors and which is the best movie? What do you have to interfere with that? You know, the other night I went to a great, great concert in the New World Symphony in Boston. And I heard one of the world's greatest pianists, Emmanuel Ax, known him for 40 years, and perhaps the world's greatest living a conductor, Michael Tilson Thomas, we call him MTT. Then I met with them after the concert and we schmoozed for a while. It was a phenomenal concert. And the orchestra were all picked on the merits. They were picked based on competition. They're young kids, in their 20s who had, you know, graduated from various conservatories. And these are the people who are going to be the great orchestra players and some orchestra leaders in the future. But, the music was great. I didn't go around counting how many people of different backgrounds there were and whether it met DEI requirements. So the Oscars has become a major disappointment. There were some very good pictures. I thought Oppenheimer too long, but it was a good picture. I remember that case very well as a college and law school student. I'd met with Oppenheimer's lawyer at one point and followed the case very carefully, wrote about it. So I really enjoyed that. And I liked also Maestro, because I knew Lenny Bernstein. I knew him the last few years of his life. He obviously was a Boston Harvard person, came back to Harvard toward the end of his life and, you know, gave master classes, et cetera. I had lunch with him a number of times and met with him a number of times, met with his daughter. I thought the movie was really good. But then there was another movie, which I just didn't like at all. I know a lot of people did like it, but I didn't like it at all. It's called Zone of Interest. And it's about the family of the head of Auschwitz, who is living an ordinary, peaceful life right next to the walls of Auschwitz. So it's a Holocaust movie without a single Jew in it. You hear some screams and some gunshots, but the movie is about the people living next door. But nothing happens. There's no moral crisis. There's no script. There's no story. There's no interest. There's no beginning, middle, and ending. The concept was an interesting one. Wow. The family, you know, children, everything living right next to this hell where 3 million children, adults, women were murdered in cold blood in gas chambers and burned in crematoria. Isn't that interesting? For a minute, you know, it's a photograph. It's you take a picture and you see the walls of Auschwitz on the one hand, and then you see the very nice building next to it where people are living an ordinary life. It's an interesting photograph. All right. I'll give you a 3-minute film, maybe 5 minutes, but a full length motion picture, nothing happens. The direction was miserable. The acting was mediocre. The story didn't exist. It's one of these things. It's commendable. Wow. A story about the Holocaust, not about Jews, about the people who lived next door to Auschwitz and they didn't do anything. Well, they weren't asked to do anything. There was no drama. There was no moment where somebody escapes, climbs over the wall and tries to get refuge and they turn them. No, nothing. I mean, nothing, no drama, no story, nothing. A still picture, not even a videotape, but it wins the Oscar because it's a commendable movie. And then the idiot director gets up there. His name is Jonathan Glazer. Guy has an IQ of probably 60. He gets there and he mumbles a few incoherent words, including the fact that, let me read it to you. Okay. Right now, we, and he was talking for a whole bunch of other producers, some of whom I actually know and are very good people and very decent people. But he stands in front of these people. He's just taken advantage of the Holocaust. He's made a fortune. He's gotten all kinds of honors using the Holocaust as a setting for this movie, this mediocre movie. So he's now standing with all the producers of the movie. He's holding an Oscar. They're all, you know, being very proud of winning an Oscar. And he says, right now, we, all the people standing around him, we stand here as men. Okay, all men, that's okay. No men, okay. Stand here as men who refute their Jewishness. Who refute their Jewishness. First of all, is he talking for everybody else? Has he given them permission for him to refute their Jewishness? Let's continue. Right now we stand here as men who refute their Jewishness. And the Holocaust, what gave him the Oscar, being hijacked by an occupation. So the occupation is as bad as the Holocaust. Occupation, which obviously could have ended so many times when Israel offered to end the occupation, the two states. Nobody offered to end the Holocaust. Let's continue. Refute their Jewishness and the Holocaust being hijacked by an occupation, which has led to conflict for so many innocent people. And then, of course, he throws in the, you have to do it, you have to throw that in. Whether the victim of October 7th, very quickly in Israel, or the ongoing attack on Gaza, all the victims of this dehumanization, how do we resist? And he gets this enormous round of applause from these useful idiots sitting out there in the theater, many of them wearing a pin with a hand and a black heart. Somehow that represents what Israel is doing in Gaza, and it calls for Israel to stop the fighting unilaterally without being calling for anything else. In fact, the pin was designed as a refutation of the yellow ribbons, which they thought some people would wear on behalf of the hostages, the completely innocent people. The one-year-old baby, the three-year-old baby, the women, the children, the people who have been raped, there was a fear that somebody might wear a yellow ribbon. One yellow ribbon was seen in the entire audience by an Israeli-American who did a Spider-Man film. He's the only one. And then hundreds of people wear this disgusting red, black heart hand thing calling for Israel to stop its war on Hamas. And everybody cheers, everybody yells, all these useful idiots, they have no idea what they're yelling about, but they yell and they cheer. And that's the Oscars. And then what else? In addition to that, all the jokes. I like a good joke. I like Jimmy Kimmel. But the jokes, as if they were written by the Democratic National Committee. They're all anti-Republican jokes, all pro-woke jokes, all, you know, jokes that look like they're part of a political campaign. That's what's happened to the Oscars. It's part of woke, ignorant Hollywood. And you have so many of the actors and actresses who are literally pro-Hamas. Forget about being anti-Israel, but they're pro-Hamas. They're also pro-gay. So, you know, gays for Gaza, chickens for KFC. You know, you could think of many more, but not a word in the entire Oscar about the hostages. There was something about Russia and Ukraine, not a word about the hostages, the entire Oscar, not a word about growing anti-Semitism, including in the film industry, or where scripts are being rejected by Jews. In the publishing industry, where books are being rejected by Jews. Not a word about any of that, because that's not part of woke culture. That's, you know, that's Jewish. No, we don't want to have anything to do with that. No, we'll do the Holocaust, because that's, you know, 50 years ago, and we'll use it to attack Israel. But we won't focus on current issues of anti-Semitism on campus and growing hatred against Jews and against Israel. No, we won't touch that issue. That's too hot politically. But we will focus on Gaza to the exclusion of anything else. And you know, we'll condemn people who are conservatives and we'll support gay rights, even though Hamas kills gay people. We'll support transgender rights, even though Hamas kills transgender people. We'll support black rights, even though Hamas has nothing good to say about African-American people. People of color are not particularly popular within Hamas. And we'll say good things about liberals and progressive and woke people, the exact opposite of Hamas. But at the same time, we'll support Hamas because that's the cause du jour. That's what these useful idiots are marching for on college campuses. And we'll hire more of them because we're not hiring based on the merits anymore. That's passé. Hiring based on the merits, meritocracy? No. The important thing is that we have diversity, which means more of a particular group, not diversity, not any kind of intellectual diversity. It's just superficial diversity. Equity, which means the opposite of equality, and inclusion, which means exclusion. So Hollywood, which was invented by Jews, you know the story of Hollywood. Thomas Edison had a movie, a motion picture company in New Jersey, now Edison, New Jersey. And he was a rampant anti-Semite, Thomas Edison. He wouldn't allow Jews to work in the industry. And so a bunch of Jews from Second Avenue Theaters. You want to hear an interesting connection? I talked about me going to a concert by Michael Tilson Thomas, MTT. Michael Tilson Thomas changed his name because his grandfather was Tomaszewski, the great Yiddish theater actor on Second Avenue. But in any event, Jews were dominating the theater industry in New York on Second Avenue. And when Thomas Edison refused to allow any Jews to participate in his movie industry, a bunch of Jews from Second Avenue picked up and they said, well, let's see if we can make films somewhere else. And they went to this place called Los Angeles, which was a relatively small town at the time. You know, it wasn't one of the five or six biggest cities in the country. And then they went to a little part of it with a strange name based on some trees, Hollywood. And they moved to Hollywood and they started the motion picture industry. And all the people who started the motion picture industry were Jewish. The Warner Brothers, MGM, they were all Jewish. And now they've made a museum in Hollywood. But it's Judenrein. The museum doesn't mention Jews. It's a museum of how Hollywood was founded. But it's a fictional museum. It should win the prize for best fictional museum because it doesn't mention the contributions, because that's not woke. That's not woke. And, you know, some of the Jews weren't great people. You know, the casting couch. Well, you know, Joseph Kennedy was also one of the early founders of Kennedy of Hollywood. He had some questionable issues regarding to the casting couch as well. So it wasn't, you know, all Jews. But it's so interesting what's going on, how the attempt to erase Jews, not only from history, but from largely from academic life. Now Harvard has fewer Jews as students than it had even when quotas were adopted in the 1910s and 20s. Everybody objected. Harvard adopted a 10% quota. Yeah, they did. And then they abolished it. You know how many students at Harvard are now Jewish? 9%. Less than the number that were allowed in under the quotas. And so, you know, we're seeing the end of meritocracy in America. The Oscars is only one manifestation of it. In fact, in many ways, the Oscars are less bad than other. Because after all, Oppenheimer did win and Barbie didn't. Oppenheimer won because it's a good film about an interesting subject. And, you know, Leonard Bernstein's an interesting guy. And the film with Bart was his father, who I knew, who was the president of Yale. Giamatti, about the students who were left behind in a prep school. That was a pretty interesting small movie. There's some pretty good movies on the merits. There were some also pretty bad movies that won awards, but don't worry about that because they satisfied all the criteria of DEI. So there's no losing if you satisfy the criteria for DEI. When are we going to get back to meritocracy? When are we going to get back to Martin Luther King's dream? I dream of a day when my children will be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Let's change that when Oscars are awarded by the content of the films, when Oscars are awarded by the quality of the acting. We still have some of that, but when you have criteria other than merit included in the qualifications, you're going down the wrong track. Oh, by the way, this despicable speech made by this despicable person, Jonathan Glazer, this self-hating Jew who wants to give up his Judaism. Right now, we stand here as men who refute their Jewishness. Now, imagine back in Hitler's day, if they rounded him up and he said, oh, you can't put me in gas chamber. I refute my Jewishness. What the Nazi guards would have said. What would Hamas say if they came to his town and started to rape and behead? And he said, no, not me. I refute my Jewishness. No, that doesn't work. You're Jewish when it comes to Hitler and when it comes to Hamas. Thank God you're not Jewish when it comes to me. Good riddance to bad garbage. I am so happy that you no longer consider yourself a Jew, but I wonder what the other people on the platform think of you having renounced their Jew. He didn't say, I stand here as a man who refutes my Jewishness. Okay, but we stand here as men who refute their Jewishness, and then comparing the Holocaust essentially to what's going on, self-defense in Gaza? What a despicable display of self-hating anti-Semitism. You don't have to be not Jewish to be an anti-Semite. This guy qualifies almost better than anybody else. He belongs to that small cabal of people, Norman Finkelstein. You can name the others throughout history who have been the capos. And I give my Capo of the Week award to Jonathan Glazer, but no longer a Jew. That's okay. He's renounced his Judaism. Let's see what his next film is about. Probably a glorification of the head of Hamas. Okay. Let's go to some letters. If you sense some anger in my voice against Jonathan Glazer, you're right. Okay. Professor, at a recent fire department in New York ceremony, Letitia James was heartily booed by a number of firefighters. Now it appears that the department and some members of the city council will seek to discipline those who did it. Would this be a violation of the firefighters' First Amendment rights? You're darn right it would be. This is the government. Fire department is the government. People have the right to boo. I don't know if any of you listened this morning to Sid in the Morning, Sid Rosenberg's show in New York, but Sid had the courage to stand up to President Biden in the State of the Union message. He was a guest. And when Biden said 30,000 civilians were killed in Gaza, Sid shouted out, says who? Says who? And he was expelled, taken out, physically removed from the House of Representatives. Well, no, he had a constitutional right. You have a constitutional right to heckle. There could be a rule that says no comments at all. A judge can say in a courtroom, no booing, no cheering. A church can say, well, church has freedom, of course, under religion. But what you cannot say if you're the government is you can cheer, but you can't boo. You can say positive things about the president, but not negative things about the president. That's unconstitutional. And that's why I have offered to represent Sid Rosenberg. If he wants to bring a lawsuit against the United States for excluding him from the State of the Union message, when he did the most typical Brooklyn thing, when you grow up in Brooklyn, anybody says anything, you always say, hey, says who? Says who? Prove it. It's not only Brooklyn, it's Missouri. Show me. Says who? What could be more American than shouting back at the president after he lied about the statistics of civilian deaths in Gaza? What could be more American than somebody standing up and saying, says who? Answer me, show me. He didn't even say, show me, answer me. He just said, says who? Two words. He's now created a T-shirt that says who? And I'm going to be the first to wear it because I'm very proud of says who. My whole life has been asking people who've made points, says who? Prove it. Show me. No, you can't get more American. You can't get more American than that. So Sid Rosenberg, hey, you're a hero. And if you don't like it, you can say, says who? I say he's a hero. If you don't like it, you can have a different point of view. Hamas cares about the Palestinians like Mao cared for the common Chinese, Stalin cared for the common Russian, or Hitler cared for the common German. If there is a genocide happening in Gaza, it is being committed by Hamas. Look, there is no genocide in Gaza. Fewer civilians have been killed in proportion to combatants than in any war in modern history involving urban warfare. Certainly any war that involved the use of human shields. Oh, I forgot. There are people now who say, oh, Hamas doesn't use human shields. Of course, Hamas leaders brag about using children and women as human shields, but their defenders say, no, it's made up, just like the rape accusations are made up. People were killed by Hamas on October 7th? No, if they were, the Israelis did it. No. Come on, this is a form of Holocaust denial. 75 to 85% of Gazan civilians support Hamas. Hamas started this war. Hamas needs to be obliterated. The blood of the civilians killed is on Hamas's hands. I agree with you. I completely agree with that. Another one, the same. Imagine if World War II were fought in today's media-driven world. The media would hand-wring over civilian casualties and then demand to know the military's plans and show up on the beaches on D-Day. It would be just like what happened in Vietnam. We all know what happened there. And then a quote. We always have to mention this quote again from Golda Meir. Somebody sent it in. We can forgive the Palestinians for killing our children. We cannot forgive them for forcing us to kill their children. And that's absolutely true. Every child that's killed in Gaza is a cause of weeping and crying by Israelis. Israelis do not want to kill Palestinian civilians. They want to kill Hamas terrorists, but the Palestinians, Hamas has made them kill children by putting the children and using them as human shields. Okay. Okay, this is about Fannie Willis. I don't know what all the fuss is about, Dr. Dersh. Everyone knows that midnight to 4 a.m., that's when the ping show, he was in her house. Everyone knows that midnight to 4 a.m. is absolutely the best time for business meetings. It's also a good time to play Scrabble. So I don't know what they were doing, but hanky panky comes to mind. And so I strongly suspect that any jury would believe from those pings alone and from the testimony of two other people that clearly they were having a sexual affair before she appointed him to earn $700,000. And I assure you the jury wouldn't believe that she paid him back with cash. See you tomorrow.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.